whole thing started, not because we really wanted to even study incidents or because we wanted to publish a really interesting and popular report, but quite honestly, it was because we were sitting around and we really, really, really wanted decision quality risk data. And we said, well, where in the world could we get this? And it just so happened that we decided that this was the best and most valuable place to get that kind of information.
And is this the first year you got data from the Secret Service this year? Is that different from years past?
It is different. This is the first year we've really collaborated with anyone outside of Verizon's direct caseload. So very much a difference. But it's related to what I was just talking about. You know, if we really want to understand the world of data breaches, then Verizon's caseload, though very informative and useful and can give us a lot of great information, we really want to expand beyond that. So Secret Service offers a great chance, and we've really been working with collaborating and sharing data in other various forms as well. So something we're very interested in, but you're exactly right. This is the first time that this has occurred in this series. So I think that sets it apart immediately.
And that must give you a lot of, there has to be a lot of rich stuff that you could get from that kind of data set.
Oh, absolutely. Yep, it's we were very interested when we started off this thing because, of course, you know, our caseload is it changes over time, but we kind of have our bread and butter cases, if you will, you know, we've always recognized that. And working with the Secret Service, much was the same. They worked the same kind of cases. In fact, we worked with them an awful lot. But there were some just completely different things that Verizon never sees before, and just we probably won't ever work those kind of cases that we got a chance to really analyze by working with the Secret Service.
All right, so let's dig into this. And as you said, the 2010 Data Breach Report, give us the high-level view. What's in here and maybe what's new from years past?
Okay. So what this thing does, if someone is not familiar with it, we kind of have a structure, and the structure is really the same this year. So we begin talking about demographics, and then we move on into, we call it agent, action, asset, and attribute is the way we classify incidents. But agent deals with who did it, and action is what they did to breach data. The asset is the asset that was compromised and so forth. So that's kind of the structure. But when you look at the agents or the threat agents that are involved, there are some very obvious changes here, and I'm sure we'll dig into them as we go along. But probably the first thing people will recognize is that the level of insider breaches, the percentage of breaches that involve an insider, is more than twice as much as we have ever shown in the past.
Wow.
So big change there. Also, the level
particularly
of,
timely given this WikiLeaks thing. You know, this is something that I think is pretty present on people's minds right now.
Absolutely. Yep. We've had a lot of discussion in the past, and of course recently about insider events, and also sort of related to that, the percentage of partner breaches. We consider three categories of threat agents: external, internal, and partner. So partner is any company that you have a business relationship with, and they can either cause directly or contribute to breaches in various ways. And we've always reported that at about the 30% level, and now it's at 11%. So that dropped, insiders rose, two major changes right off the bat.
And there were also some, I mean, the causes of some of these things, we're seeing still a lot of bad guys, organized criminals that are doing this.
Absolutely. So, and they are in the external category, of course. Now, the interesting thing is those external organized criminal groups often collude with insiders, and there's a lot of discussion of that in the report. But when you look at what I was just talking about a minute ago was the percentage of breaches, so the, you know, it's kind of frequency related. We also have some discussion and measurements in there about the percent of data loss, which is our best measurement of impact, really. We can't measure impact in dollars,
right,
because we're talking about forensic investigators here. But I think 85 to 90% of all stolen data was directly attributed to organized criminal groups, which is quite amazing when you think about it.
One of the interesting graphics that you have in there is you lay out industry groups as represented by a percentage of the breaches. By and large, 33% financial services, the big guys, everyone wants at them, I'm guessing largely because they got the money, and so you want to try and hack in there in some form or fashion, right?
That's exactly right. The financially motivated criminal, especially, is looking at where they can obtain data, where they can obtain it in bulk. And, of course, they have this whole return on investment or cost-benefit analysis that I think they consider. You know, where can I get the most for the least work, et cetera, et cetera. And just increasingly in our caseload over the years, financial services have kind of moved from, you know, the number three, distant four spot to where now they're clearly number one. So that is an interesting change over the past few years.
And for our audience, it was at least interesting that the government tied for six, tied with media and media and business services. In front of government is hospitality. Well, financial services number one, hospitality, retail, manufacturing, and tech services, all above government. So government isn't the preeminent target. It's a very rich target, though, if you rich, small r, not in terms of wealth, but in terms of data you can get.
Correct. And you know, one of the interesting things, because we do talk a lot about breaches in the government sector, and there's lots of reasons for this. You know, one is we work a lot of cases that are financially motivated because those types of data are regulated and we hear about them, and sometimes they require investigation and all of that. So sometimes it's you kind of wonder, well, what goes on outside of that? And one of the things that we've talked about in the past and have actually heard from government entities is that, you know, maybe governments themselves are breached. You know, they're not at the forefront of the statistics in this report, but, you know, governments give their data and collaborate with and connect their systems to all types of organizations.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that is really something of interest to government agencies and something that really they can take out of this report. And, you know, everyone uses the same technology. We all have similar issues. And, you know, I've never really seen any major differences as you look, as we do tease out those government breaches and analyze them, show very much the same characteristics as everyone else.